Welcome to In the Circle, the premier softball podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric Lopez and Victor Anderson.
Welcome to another edition of In the Circle. Eric Lopez alongside Victor Anderson. And Vic, one of the big stories this year is, of course, who the national title contenders, teams that they're certainly either trying to get back to Oklahoma City or trying to win the national title. And our guest on this episode certainly qualifies in both categories.
Quickly rising to be one of the elite coaches in all of college football. And, of course, we are talking about, from the Florida State Seminoles, Lonnie Alameda, who will be joining us shortly.
She'll begin her ninth season at FSU, and the high expectations for the Noles could be easily a top-five team throughout the year, heavy favorites in the ACC. We'll talk to her about the expectations with this Florida State team 2017 coming off the berth to the Women's College World Series last year and got into that Final Four. They were one of the Final Four standing in Oklahoma City, and they bring just about everybody back. They only lose one starter. They bring back their pitching staff. So this is a loaded Seminole team with high expectations. But before we get to Coach Alameda, Vic, where can they find us?
Follow us on Twitter, in the Circle SB. Subscribe to our podcast on Automatic and iTunes. Send us an email, InTheCircleSB@gmail.com. Follow our blog, InTheCircleBlog.wordpress.com, and you can find us on Facebook at InTheCircleSB.
All right, without further ado, let's bring her in, one of the top coaches in college softball, from the Florida State Seminoles, Coach Lonnie Alameda. And joining us now, the head coach of the Florida State Seminoles, Coach Lonnie Alameda. And Coach, an exciting year, 2017, and maybe one of the most anticipated years in Florida State softball history. Really exciting time. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And yes, a very exciting time, but just ready for game one, actually. Yep.
And I was going to ask you about that. I mean, the expectations are super high. You had a tremendous year last year. You get to the Women's College World Series. You end up being one of the Final Four teams standing. You bring just about everybody back. And with that comes excitement and expectations. How do you message to the players that really last year was last year and that this is a new year?
Exactly that. You know, we just stated and talked about it. Our team's pretty smart in that sense. You know, we always talk about being present and playing day by day, and you know, we got a taste for something we've been getting after for a long time, and that's being, you know, in Oklahoma City and winning in Oklahoma City and, you know, trying to be in that championship series. There's all these steps to it, you know, so we definitely got a taste of it and have kids that have lived it twice now, and you know, they want more of it. So I don't think you don't talk about it, but you know, you gotta make sure you have these goals, but then you're living them daily and you're loving what you're doing daily. And I think we've got a really good balance with that right now.
Nobody ever wants to lose. And you know, you got all the way to the Final Four. You had to come out of the loser's bracket to get all the way to that Final Four there before you lost to Auburn. But that the fact that you were so close, can that be the motivation that each player is kind of like, we can win this thing. We were so close, as we just do what we need to get taken care of.
Yeah, you know, definitely, you know, but, you know, it's so hard getting there, you know, and so it's that you can't, like, think about the World Series. You just got to think about the process, and I know it's stated, and everyone's like, oh, yada, yada, process, but we really felt and lived the process while we were there because, you know, we made 7 errors in that UGA game, and no one would ever expect to go in there and be able to bounce back from it, but because, you know, when we got together and said, hey, you know, our character and our culture is pretty strong. And, you know, if we go back to just playing some catch and not worrying about things, we're going to be fine. And then we rolled off a couple wins. So I think that experience really taught us a lot. And yeah, no one wants to lose, but you got to go put it out there, you know. And I think the kids gave everything they had in that Auburn game, and they learned a lot about themselves. So, we're the most prepared we've ever been right now. And it's going to be so fun to just go play this season.
No question about it. And I feel like your run to the Women's College World Series got all the Florida State sports teams excited. Florida State had another solid year, get into the Orange Bowl. Men's basketball's having a great year. Sue Simmerl, women's basketball's having a tremendous year as well. There's a lot of winning going on, and I would imagine with these student-athletes, they all hang out each other. They're all in the same deal. There seems to be some vibe going on there in Tallahassee.
Yeah, no, there's definitely, I think, the old adage of success breeds success, you know, and when you're around people that just want to be the best, you know, there's an energy and there's a drive. But what's so special about this place and I love about this place is, you know, everyone supports each other. So you got the softball team out at the soccer games, and then you have the soccer team out at the softball games, and you're over with volleyball. And, of course, everyone's going to go watch some basketball and, you know, and love the season. But, you know, we've been there before. We've been there when no one else was there, and you see the success. So they all are big fans of each other, and you know, it's just neat to see that they really enjoy and have appreciation for everyone's sport.
Of course, you've won the ACC championship three times, but let's start with that. I mean, before you get to Oklahoma City, you try to focus on the ACC and trying to. This league is getting tougher and tougher each year, and you're going to have a target on your back, and that's part of the territory. You welcome the challenge, but I don't know if the country gives the ACC the credit it deserves in getting you prepared for postseason softball.
And we've got to create that culture too, and you know, the conference has definitely gotten better, and it's just a yearly goal of ours. You know, we want to be the regular season champion. I think that's huge. When you're regular season champion, you're doing it week in and week out. You know, a tournament champion's awesome. You really want that, but you know, that's just a one weekend deal, and you want to get hot at one time, and that's great. But if you're doing it week in and week out, and you're in the hunt for a regular season championship, that says a lot about your consistency and your durability as a team, you know, because everyone's got to show up at some point in those weekend series. So that's a big goal of ours, just being very consistent in our approach from at-bat to at-bat and pitch to pitch. And, you know, with that process, with having that mindset, you should be regular season. You should be in that hunt right there in the championship. So definitely embrace it, love it, want it. That's what, you know, that's what we talk about here daily is to be, you know, of winning every series we can.
Of course, you bring back a lot of depth, especially the pitching staff. The entire pitching staff's back last year, led by Jessica Burrows, who's one of the top pitchers in the country. Tell us about her. I mean, she just keeps getting better and better, it seems like. But you've got so much depth now. They got multiple options you could go with.
Yeah. No, definitely. We're really excited with the experience that Megan King got last year. And Jessica Burrows was just a huge mentor in her development emotionally and physically, you know, and sharing some of the stuff that she does physically, pitching-wise. But you know, I think Jessica's got some really good experience under her belt now. She's probably in the best shape she's ever been in, having understanding how to be, you know, a 20-game kid with, you know, the best in your time being in June. You know, you want to be the healthiest and most rested you can by that point. And so she has a really good feel for that. So she's in great shape right now. And Megan King's coming in now with all the experience that she could get last season and, you know, a little bit more drive a little bit. She's in a little bit better shape now too, and understanding the strength that she needs also. And then we have some kids that are gonna come in big for us. The freshman Cassidy Davis is throwing real hard, and you know, getting a lot of good information from two, you know, kids now that have been in it. So you know, there's just some good battery mentality going on, and you know, Sid Broderick behind the plate has been awesome for them too. So it's exciting there. It starts from there. You talk about it as a pitcher and a catcher. You're the ones that touch the ball all the time, so you have to have a really good mentality, a tough, gritty mentality, and be physically good at what you do.
And the way the game is going now, it's an entire pitching staff. No one pitcher can really, for a few exceptions now, it's not like it used to be 10 years ago or 12 years ago, you could go ride one pitcher. Now with the hitters, the offense, the way it is today, you need multiple pitchers to get you through the whole year. And, boy, this might be arguably the deepest staff Florida State's ever had. That's got to be a huge luxury to have all this experience and depth in today's game.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, and I think a lot of people don't realize how much scouting and studying is going on too. You know, there's just so much video, and it's amazing. We're on TV a lot more, but you're getting a lot more looks and see a lot more tendencies. So, you know, it's definitely become a very athletic game, you know, and we have really good hitters 1 through 9 and coming off the bench, and that part's gotten better, but the studying of it has gotten better too. So you've got to be deep in the circle. You know, with 2 or 3 different looks and different tempos and, you know, those kind of things. So you're building a pitching staff. You're right on that.
You mentioned offensively. I mean, dynamic offense from top to bottom. It starts at the top with Morgan, who's one of the best top hitters there, getting on base. And then you got power hitters like Alex Powers, and you got Warren. I mean, it just goes on and on. Talk about this offense here going into 2017 that's returns with experience and a lot of explosiveness.
Yep. I think Coach Snyder and Coach Wilson have done a tremendous job in getting them bought into a plan. And, you know, they're a very smart hitting group as they work together. So very athletic, have a lot of power but can run. You know, we're a pretty speedy team and really want to try to put pressure on people and put pressure on pitchers, you know, really trying to take away their good stuff, you know, get after their good stuff and try to get to the next pitcher in the bullpen, you know, mentality. And so just by putting good swings on good pitches, you know, consistently, you know, you're going to really try to wear them down. So I think the mentality's been great. And like you said, you can't emulate experience. And they got a lot of good young kids that got some experience last year. So looking forward to having a fun offense and, you know, just to see what the game brings us, and then we bring the game.
Some changes and rules in the game the upcoming year. For example, the Super Regionals now are going to be single games. There's no longer one game on the first day, then a doubleheader, if necessary, on the second day. It's going to be single games no matter what. If it goes three, then they'll play in 3 days. Do you like that change?
Yeah, I think obviously it'd be kind of nice for us not to have that chance because you have some good pitching, so you can go deeper in a two-day, you know, a doubleheader day. But I think it's best for softball. I think the best team wins at that point. You know, you're able to use your whole bench. Everyone's rested, so I think there's some really quality to it. And at that time of year, you know, for the game, you want to put the best foot forward for the game of softball, and I think that's going to be a big move for us. And you know, going to go right into the World Series. You shouldn't be playing doubleheaders in the World Series either. You know, it's what everyone guns for. Everyone wants to be there, and you want to have the best chance, you know, recovering and getting after a game plan for your next day.
Is that the next step? Because it's funny, I agreed with you, because with weather, it kind of threw off the schedule last year in the Women's College World Series, and it's kind of, certainly it's a weird times where you're playing in late night, and then you got to come back in the afternoon. I think that happened to Michigan and so forth. Could we see the day where the Women's College World Series maybe gets extended like baseball does, where they go a couple extra days, and but like you said, not be forced to play doubleheaders?
Yeah. No, it's definitely something we're all pushing for. You know, and it comes back to funding and finances and all that stuff. But I think there's a want and desire for people to watch softball. They love it and they enjoy it. And we just got to make sure that we keep the student-athlete welfare and the growth of the game in mind. You know, we want the game to be played at a high level, and that doesn't mean you're getting home at midnight or 1 in the morning throwing down some pizza and trying to get up at 7 to get some BP going for a 9 o'clock game. You know, it's not right to... You know, it was tough on Michigan last year, and when we ended up playing them, but you're playing that emotional game and then turning around, it's not good for the quality of the game. So we're going to keep pushing that, you know, and keep trying to get that extended a little bit.
We're speaking with Florida State head coach Lonnie Alameda here, getting ready for the 2017 season. Some other rules they're trying to experiment with, the speed of the game now. They're trying to speed up the game a little bit. Is that something that you are for, or is that kind of overblown? I know some people, the games have certainly gotten a little longer, but is that an issue internally?
I definitely think it's awesome that we speed up the game. I think if you talk to anyone that's a fan, and, you know, I love some baseball, so don't get me wrong, I love watching baseball and the intricacies of baseball, but, you know, and I know even baseball is trying to speed up their game a little bit, too, with the clock and some other things, but, you know, our game is fast-paced, and, you know, we're starting to get into a lot of things slowing it down, and so I'm a big fan of it. You know, I love the thought process, you know, it's a lot of things too, you know, so I think if you let the kids play, they're going to learn the game at a higher level also. So, big fan of it. You know, we implemented all the rules in our practices and scrimmages, and, you know, it's a 2-hour game. And I know that a lot of people argue that there's more offense nowadays, but, in the reality, you know, I think if you're getting out there and you're not slowing the game down by a lot of timeouts and conferences and things like that, you're going to get the same results in the game. So I'm a big supporter of it.
Now, you're one of the busiest coaches in the country, and I'm not just saying that. It's true. You're coaching Florida State, obviously one of the top programs in the country in college. You're recruiting, obviously. But this past summer, you also went in and coached in the professionally in the NPF with the USSSA Pride. What was it that got you interested in coaching in the NPF, and what was your thoughts on it, coaching this past summer?
Outstanding. Absolutely loved it. I'm so fortunate to be able to have been around a lot of different levels of softball. And, you know, I was kind of lucky enough to coach in Beijing and was with Team Canada out there. And the international level was outstanding. And so when it was brought to me that I could get the opportunity to coach in the pro league and get an experience with that type of athlete and that time of experience, you know, I jumped at it. I was so excited for it and didn't really know what to expect. And, you know, kind of went into the New York Yankees of the Pro League with the pride and the names that they had, and just absolutely loved every day. Loved the fact that we played every day. I thought that was really cool. You know, you don't get a lot of time to prepare. We don't have a ton of spring training opportunities. But, you know, when you're there, it's just in-game adjustments. It's all it's about is in-game adjustments, trying to be smarter, and just really, really enjoyed it. And I hope we can get more people involved with it, because it's a great opportunity for these kids to play college and then go to the next level of their life when they're really growing into their bodies to play the game at a higher level. And, you know, I want to be a part of that. I want to help and be a part of that. So you know, my coaching staff and I were going to do it again this summer. And, you know, some people think, hey, that's a little crazy, you know, to get out there and miss some recruiting opportunities. But if we all don't jump in and try to grow the game and give the best effort, then we're going to lose, you know, some chances for these kids to go on and play at higher levels. And everyone that loves fast pitch softball will love the Pro League. It's an amazing time to go out and watch these athletes go.
And the Pride will be playing their home games this year in Vieira, one of their beautiful new stadium. They're going to be playing their home games there. Not as much traveling as last year, Coach, so that'll be nice. But you got to travel to some great places throughout the year in the MPF and some of the best players in the world. What does the Pro League have to do to match the popularity of the college game? Because the college game is getting more and more popular every year. The ratings keep going up. Fan attendance keeps going up. How do we translate that into the Pro game?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm really at that pace scale yet to really know. Well, I think someone else has got to, you know, I know Coach Sherry Kemp is out there trying to research as much as she can and figure all that out. But I do know that, you know, if we could get, like, Chicago has a great venue. It's a softball venue. Fans come to the stadium to watch softball, where we traveled around a lot and played in a lot of baseball stadiums. And, you know, you're trying to travel around a little bit and get people aware of it. But if you gain, you know, we're going to be where the Nationals Park was. We're going to be down in Vieira Beach now. If you can gain a following there and create an atmosphere there, that's just like the college game. You look at our fans here, love Florida State softball, UCF, Tuscaloosa, Michigan, UCLA. Like, they love their area and their pockets, and we got to grow our area and pockets in Pro League too. And Akron's done that with their facility there too. So I think that's a part of it, you know. But, you know, having the Olympics now, people are going to see more softball and just awareness and growth and, you know, just people doing their part, like you in this interview. You know, you love softball. I know you do. You have a passion for it. And the more we talk about it and get it out there, the more opportunities we're going to have.
No question about that. And I believe also there'll be some of the Pride, three or four Pride games will be in Tallahassee too, right? You'll do that again like you did last year?
Yep. We're going to be up here in the beginning right after the World Series because we hold some camps up here. So we're trying to combine that so we can do our Florida State job along with some of the Pride stuff too and give these kids a chance to see. I mean, Sierra Romero, Laura Chamberlain, Kelly Crutchman, the list goes on. Kalani Ricketts, Shelby Sunley, amazing people that play this game at a high level, and they get a chance to be around them. And, you know, it's so cool to have freshmen and sophomores come into college and be like, hey, I want to play pro. I want to be like Kelly Crutchman. I mean, that's, you know, I don't know how many kids grew up baseball players and said, I want to be Ken Griffey Jr. I want to be Mariano Rivera. I want to be Derek Jeter. You know, we're giving them that opportunity now to want to play at a high level. And it's just such a neat feeling to be a little part of that.
And it's funny you bring up you were a part of the Canadian team in 2000 Beijing. I just happened to speak to Jen Salling recently here a few days ago. Speaking of passion, by the way, no one has as much passion as she does for the game. And we talked about the Olympics going back to getting softball back in 2020 for Tokyo. And she talked about it. She's proud. She's going to try and be on that team, the Canadian team. And we talked a lot about the popularity of softball in Canada. And she wants it to keep growing and growing.
Our country is still trying to create more professional development opportunities for coaches. But again, it's never going to compete with our national sport, which is hockey. So I hope now that it's back in the Olympics, it's going to get back on and start growing again. So give our sport a little bit of a hope in Canada.
Now, you've been around it. Your thoughts now with, of course, the softball back in the Olympics.
Yeah, outstanding. The support you can gain, you know, again, we all know things come down to bottom line budget. You know, you understand that. But now that you get a chance, you get an opportunity and a platform to share a game that a lot of people love. So USA is going to do a great job of representing Canada. Japan's going to be amazing. They love softball over there. They've been a good driving force of pro league and professional level in softball, and so they're going to be amazing in what they do and defending their gold medal. It's going to be a lot of fun.
What was it like? You mentioned that to be part of the Olympics in 2008. For those that don't you know, really kind of grasp what this means for the sport, what was that like for you in Beijing?
Yeah. To share with people just the international component of, you know, we have a player, Ellie Cooper, our captain. She plays for New Zealand, and she's the captain of the New Zealand team. And, you know, to see sport at all different levels and international, there's such a pride to play for your country and to represent your country and the sport itself. And everyone plays it with a little bit different way. You know, Japan's very speedy and quick, and, you know, they practice for many hours, and you have such respect for how they do things. And we're USA, of course, we grew up at a young age, and we got college, you know, to prepare us. And, you know, where other countries don't even have universities to go play at, so they got to figure out ways to train. You know, you think of Canada and the way they come down here, or Venezuela, or Puerto Rico, you know. So how they train, how they get an edge, how they try to figure things out, it's just really unique in the international way to do that, you know. So just so fortunate to be a part of it, you know, to be able to go out there and see the opening ceremonies and to see other athletes train. You know, you see some of these, Canada has these huge storms where, you know, maybe Tobago has like one runner, you know, and he's representing his country. And, you know, it's just a really, really cool thing to see sport bring a bunch of amazing people together to represent their country.
Could you see yourself involved for the Olympics? Is that something, or is that too, you got too much on your plate? Have you even considered that?
Oh, no, I think about it a ton. Yeah, I would love to. Yeah, of course, would love to. You know, again, how many candles can you keep lit and keep going and still give what you want to give to your university and your program that you're employed by? And but, yeah, no, I've definitely put my name out there, and, you know, and however I can help or be a part of. I think my biggest goals right now are to do, you know, the best I can for the Pride and the Pro League. And, you know, I've been in it for a year, and I want to give it again this summer all I can. And, of course, you know, we want to be in Oklahoma City with this team, and so I daily want to get after this program and continue to grow this program. But we're so proud of it, and we're so engaged in sport and the opportunities for these females. So, you know, you never want to say no to anything. You just want to give. And, you know, I think that that's what's so great about softball is we're just all about trying to grow it and try to get people around it as much as we can.
And it helps, too. You got a great staff, too. Talk about your staff, because they help you kind of do these things, too, because obviously it's not just one person with the program. It's a lot of people behind the scenes, and also as far as your coaching staff. And that has to be huge to help you, not only at Florida State, but, you know, if you're coaching the Pride, they're doing still things with Florida State as well.
Yeah. No, I mean, the whole theme this year is, you know, it takes a village, because everyone keeps talking to us about, oh, you should be at the World Series, you know. Well, you know, like, you know, last year, this year, but, you know, everyone's got a little pep in their step, and it goes from our strength coach, Caitlin Quinn. She's amazing with the kids and growing their strength. Our athletic trainer, you know, Travis and Craig, how we're all just, you know, we know what we're thinking, each other's thinking, you know, so you're just right there and trying to help the kids out, you know, volunteer coach to director of ops. It's bananas how many people don't know are involved with programs to get where they're at. So it's definitely not me. My head coach title is one, but there is a village and an amazing village here that's raising these kids and softball and giving them chances. And then, you know, I think the most amazing thing is to see juniors and seniors give back to the freshmen and sophomores what they learned and their experiences. And, you know, it's sad for, like, men's basketball and even football sometimes, like, and they can't. They got to go on and play pro, and they got to sign their contracts. But how they could give back to the game to freshmen and sophomores and experience what it's like to be a true leader because you've experienced 2 or 3 years of it, it just really grows you as a person. And so sometimes I feel so bad for the guys, you know, because they're like, oh, like Dalvin, he'd be amazing. And Jameis, they'd be amazing at tutoring some of these young ones. But, you know, you're not tossing up millions. It's silly to even say that. But there is such a quality to being a leader and having that opportunity to be a senior and turn around, like our crew right now, they're turning around and helping these freshmen understand that they're going to be graduating, and these guys are the ones that are taking it on. So just a village. It's a complete village, and it's an awesome, awesome experience.
And that's been a big part of your program and why you've been so successful, because you mentioned that. Like, I remember Jessica Burles, as she was coming along, Lacey Waldrop was helping her, as watching from afar. I remember Maddie O'Brien, I'm sure, was one of the leaders, and she was helping some of the hitters now. And then it even goes before that. That has to mean a lot to you to keep the tradition going, a tradition that, you know, even started way before you were at Florida State with Coach Graff and the success they have. And now you're back at the high level where they were.
No, for sure. You know, it starts in the summer. All our kids, you know, are assigned to freshmen, incoming freshmen, and they keep in touch with them once a couple weeks, every 2-3 weeks. They keep in touch with them during the summer before they get in here, you know, in September. And, you know, they're talking core values and standards and how, you know, how much water you have to drink and things you have to do. And so that relationship early on is something that's been set here. And it's really neat to see. And, you know, again, not many people get the opportunity, but when you're with one group of people and you get a chance to play for a title, and I don't care if it's squash or checkers or whatever, you know, but you get together and you get to play together, it's such an amazing feeling when you start to really see that come together as a group, and you kind of throw away some of the other stuff on the side that doesn't matter. And getting them to see that and buy into that is just really, really neat. And our kids have really, really got to that point here in the last couple of years.
Couple last things before we let you go. The schedule, again, you always play a great schedule, a challenging schedule. You open at home February 10th. You take on Lipscomb. You got Furman and Marshall coming in. You go, of course, host the ACC Big Ten Softball Challenge. You got Northwestern and Nebraska. Now they've done it for a couple years. Your thoughts on the ACC Big Ten Challenge? We see this in basketball. And now we're starting to see a little bit of this as softball.
Yeah. This will be our second round of doing it. Honestly, we've been playing a lot of Big Ten teams here over the last couple years, you know, and so this is a great chance for our conference to have every weekend. We're going to have a great RPI conference tournament, you know. So, you know, we didn't do so well last year, but we're binding together to get the ACC back into it. So it's a 1-1 match, you know, for the next year. But, what a great opportunity for us to play quality softball. And really want to promote it and get it going, kind of like basketball has done. You know, it's been a really neat thing for ACC basketball to do the ACC Big Ten. So, really pumped about it. Nebraska is going to be awesome. You know, Marshall that first weekend, they're a run-and-gun team. They run all over the place. So they're going to be fun to play. So good schedule. And then when we head out to California, that's going to be a big test for us too. And just traveling in general, and I think the neat thing about our schedule this year is we head out to California to play a lot of big RPI teams, ranked teams, but then we're going to come home, but we're going to go back out to Oregon and play a series out there before we go to the ACC tournament. So we are really going to push ourselves in the travel mentality part of it, and the ability to make adjustments and travel, and you know, we should be okay because we're a senior group, but, you know, that's going to be a big key for us this year. And, we'll kind of see how that pans out.
Should be an exciting year, of course. For more information on Florida State softball, follow them all year, and then the schedule, go to Seminoles.com. Again, the Noles will open the season at home on Friday, February 10th. And I have a feeling Coach is going to hear a little bit of this music right here. A little war chant there, Coach. I know that.
Yeah, I like it.
I figured to get you going on that. Yeah. We heard it. You know, we hear it at Doak. We hear it at the Tucker Center. You know, we can hear it at Joanne Graff Field, right?
Yep. You're right. You can. That's
outstanding. Oh, that's fantastic. Coach, I appreciate you taking the time from a busy schedule. We appreciate everything you do, not just obviously for the college game, but as we've talked about here, the pro game and the international game. So that's why I'm really excited. I always enjoy chatting with you whenever I have the opportunity. Good luck this year. I'm sure I'll see you when you come down to Orlando. And good luck this year, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you so much. Have a great, great week.
Thanks, Coach. Coach Lonnie Alameda, Florida State. And a thanks again to Coach Alameda, the Florida State Seminoles. I always enjoy. I mean, obviously, one of the things I enjoy about what we're doing here at In the Circle is we try to go in-depth into the game. And no one gives more to the sport than Coach Alameda. Yeah. And, she started off at UNLV, but we've seen her, obviously. We followed her this summer with the Pride. And how about that? She'll be coming back for a second season with the Pride, but then also involved with the international game in Canada. And, man, what a job she's done at Florida State. I remember she took over in 2009 for Coach Graff, who retired at Florida State, a legendary coach that you covered.
Yes, I remember seeing her and Jessica Vanderlinden about Women's College World Series team back in 2004 where they played UCF.
And they were the power program in the state time, correct? They were the first one to get to the Women's College World Series.
They were the big dogs in the state of Florida back in 2003, 2004, 2005.
And it wasn't like that towards the end of Coach Graff, and Lonnie had to build the program back up, and boy, she's done that now. I mean, they're loaded. I mean, I think they are, and watching them up close, they are a special team. And we talked about it. I think they learned a lot from that trip at Oklahoma City. They had that tough loss against Georgia with the defensive breakdowns, and she mentioned it. A lot of teams would have just kind of gone lose the next game and be done, but they fought back and got themselves all the way into that, you know, Final Four team standing. And she's done a tremendous job there. Did a great job with the Pride, and I hope she's involved with Team Canada in the international game when we get to the Olympics in 2020.
Yeah.
Always a treat to speak to Coach, who's one of the busiest people, but Very kind person. They do a tremendous job there at Florida State. I was there a couple years ago with the regionals. They do a great job hosting and stuff. So, I mean, they're loaded, Vic. I mean, it's going to be an exciting year and interesting to see how they handle it. I have a feeling they'll be okay. I think they'll handle the expectations. They're kind of gotten used to it now, being the target. I know this year's unique, but maybe than the last couple years. But they have. You look at college softball and the top programs in the sport.
They're right there.
They're in the conference. I mean,
they're right there.
And she's a big part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said in the open, one of the most underrated coaches in all of college softball. It's starting to become one of the elite coaches to college softball as well. You can mention her in the same breath as a Patty Gasso, as a Tim Walton. You can mention Alameda's name in that list as well, Coach Hutch of Michigan.
Across all levels.
Yes.
That's the thing that's so impressive. So, thanks again to Coach Alameda, and thanks to everybody at Florida State. There are great people there to help out. Again, Seminoles.com for all the latest on them. And they got a lot of their games are going to be televised, too. We didn't even get a chance to talk about that, but a lot of their games are going to be televised as well with the exposure with the ACC as a whole, Vic, growing. And yeah. I mentioned that the league, they're going to see more and more ACC games with the SEC Network coming soon down the road, kind of like similar to the SEC. And, you know, Notre Dame's very good. The North Carolina, you know, they're going to teams that are going to try to gun for Florida State.
And NC State was the tournament team. And you always know, Eric, and we've seen this in the last few years in the ACC, there's always that one team that lies underneath the weeds and makes a run in the tournament. We thought it was going to be Syracuse last year. Who's that team going to be in 2017?
It's one of the many great storylines we'll follow throughout the year here in 2017. Vic, before we go, where can they find us?
Follow us on In The Circle SB on Twitter. Follow our blog, inthecircleblog.wordpress.com. Subscribe to our podcast on Podomatic and iTunes. Follow us on Facebook and send us an email, inthecirclesb@gmail.com.
Thanks again to Coach Alameda and the Florida State Seminoles. They'll open February 10th. We're another day closer to that date.
Man.
Unbelievable. So.
I could have sworn we had, like, fall.
Nope.
Now it's, like, season. And I'm like, wait, what?
That's right. The season is just around the corner. Should be exciting. By the way, the ACC tournament this year will be held in Chapel Hill, Carolina. So that'll do it. Keep it here as we get you ready for the 2017 season. Until next time, for Victor Anderson, I'm Eric Lopez. This is In the Circle.